This is a chapter that we should commit to our hearts and minds and make sure that we retain it within us and lock it away in our hearts that we might not sin against God. Psalm 100, the word of the Lord says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Amen. Know ye that the Lord, He is God.
Yes, sir.
It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves." We can't take credit for anything. Didn't put ourselves here. We don't decide where to be born, what family to come into. We can't choose our parents, our situation. We didn't choose our gender or our color or the place where we'd be born. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. By the way, if we're His sheep, that means He's our shepherd. Amen.
Amen.
Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. Matter of fact, He ain't nothing but good. Ain't nothing bad about Him. Everything about Him's right and pure and holy. That good means both the presence of the pure and the absence of the corrupt. And that's just what He is. Everything about Him's right. That's why the cherubims or seraphims in Isaiah chapter 6 cried, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And He is holy, friend. The Lord, He is good. His mercy is everlasting. I'm glad God ain't running out of it, aren't you? They're new every morning. And His truth endureth to all generations. And I bless His name for it. This is Psalm, my friend, is such a blessing. And in the verse number 4 is where we want to take our text. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We've been studying the past several weeks about the man that is blessed. We've been looking at these blessings in the Bible. And I would have figured by now everybody in Bremen, Georgia had done been here, because everybody's interested in blessings. Everybody wants to be blessed. I surely want to be a candidate for whatever blessings that the Lord would steer my way. But we looked at the blessed man in the Beatitudes. Blessed is the man that's persecuted. Blessed are hunger and thirst after righteousness and so forth. We studied the man that's blessed in Psalm 127. We looked at being blessed but stressed in Acts chapter 14. The blessed man in Psalm chapter 1. And last week we talked about blessed forgiveness from Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen. And we talked about these blessings. Oh, we are surely all a blessed people. And today we see it in one of my favorite Psalms, a command of God to offer thanks unto the Lord for His blessings. Oh, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. I want to preach that the Lord will help me this morning on gratitude and gracious blessings. Gratitude and gracious blessings. The Lord has been so gracious to me. Amen. And He has to you, whether you'll understand it or believe it or not. He's been gracious unto us, and He's showed us His favor. And I read to you the first presidential proclamation of any kind that had been issued in 1789, a few moments ago. But one of the phrases that was in that proclamation was, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection." Psalm chapter 116, under Holy Ghost inspiration, David translates this duty into personal experience, where he said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I will offer thee sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord." Oh, thank God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, Paul said, "Thanks unto God for His unspeakable gift." 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God that's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Thanks be to God which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Hey, what a blessing it is this morning to know the Lord. peace in our hearts. Oh, only the child of God knows these things. And here we are this morning at the house of the Lord. Thank God, hearing the songs of Zion, rejoicing in Jesus. Got a King James Bible in our hands. And surely we are a blessed people. Blessed beyond what we deserve. Blessed beyond what we really can understand. Blessed beyond what we really even knew. I mean, these boys and girls that stood up here this morning and sung this song for us, they really have no idea how blessed they really are. They really don't even know how privileged that they are to sing songs like that and to stand in an old-fashioned church and to hear this kind of singing and be around this kind of atmosphere and to be under the preaching of the Word of God and to have a place where they can pray in an old-time altar and talk to the Lord and experience a move of God for themselves and to know Jesus on a personal basis. Oh, we're blessed beyond what we even are aware of this morning. And I praise His name. I want to show in gratitude for the blessings that He's graciously put on my life. Let me share with you three things this morning. And I'll be done with this. First of all, notice that the act of gratitude. Colossians 3:15 says it this way. And to let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Being thankful, showing gratitude is an act. It is something you will have to perform. Amen. Being grateful is not just a feeling. It, my friend, is an action. It's something you must take part in deliberately. The act of gratitude is deliberate. Hey, you see, you have to be grateful on purpose. Selfishly seeking more is what our nature is. Stopping to be grateful is a conscious choice. It's real easy to go through life instead complaining all the time, griping and whining about what you don't have, what you would like, what you think you deserve. But I tell you, being grateful is a thing you must purpose and deliberately do. Amen. I mean, listen, friend, my little girl, my baby girl doesn't say thank you unless I tell her to say thank you. She doesn't know to appreciate the fact that if Daddy didn't put shoes on her feet, she wouldn't have any. If Daddy didn't put clothes on her back, she wouldn't have any. If Daddy didn't put food in her mouth, she wouldn't have any. She doesn't understand that that house with a roof overhead, climate control is not just there. She doesn't even understand that somebody has provided all of that for her. What she does understand is when she wants something that she does not have, and she'll pitch a fit and try her best to get it. Amen. And some folks have never grown up. It's as if they don't understand that the Lord put the air here that you're breathing. The Lord put the water here that you're drinking. You're eating His food. He's the one that's making your heart beat and your lungs operate. Amen. And so we have to, and on purpose, stop and deliberately glorify Him and not just pass through life as seeking for the next thing that we want or that we desire and neglect all the blessings of God. The act of gratitude is deliberate. It's deliberate. The act of gratitude is desirable. And God seeks after it from us. He commands us to be thankful. And be ye thankful. And my friend, the Lord desires for us to praise Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Friend, the Lord seeks for us to be thankful, to be grateful for His gracious blessings. Gratitude is desirable. Gratitude is an attractive character trait. Friend, nobody likes to be around somebody that's unpleasant. and dissatisfied and grumpy all the time. That when you're grateful for the privileges you have in life, when you're living in thanksgiving and genuinely appreciate the blessings you have and the privileges afforded to you by God and by those around you, there's an attractiveness about you. I'm my feeling about your manner that causes others to enjoy your company. Have you ever noticed that when people will say things like please and thank you and will wear a smile and tell you that they appreciate things, isn't it remarkable how much you'd rather be around that person? How much more attractive that they appear to be? How much more that you find their presence and their conversation have to be pleasant? That's remarkable, friend. Well, if you find gratitude to be so desirable and so attractive, if you find an attitude of gratitude, an act of thanksgiving, to be so desirable and so attractive, what makes us think that God's any different? The Lord inhabits the praise of His people. When we have a heart of gratitude, when we have a life of thanksgiving, that we, my friend, find ourselves living in a manner that attracts the anointing of God on us. Oh, yes. And the Lord blesses our thanksgiving. And the Lord blesses our praise. And the Lord, my friend, visits upon us in our gratefulness. Oh, hey. The reason why so many have become unholy is they first become unthankful. That's exactly right. You remember what He told us about the last days. He said men must be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He told us about how they'd be disobedient to parents. How that they would be then unthankful and unholy. When you become unthankful, you're headed toward becoming unholy. You remember in Romans chapter number 1, where He told us about all those that were filled with a reprobate in mind and how God had turned them over. Do you remember what the first step toward their situation was? When they knew God, they recognized Him not as God, neither were they thankful. When we cease to be grateful, when we cease to praise God for what He's done in our lives, we are headed toward an atmosphere where God cannot work and where God will not work. If you want the Lord to help you and bless you and work in your life, you begin by being thankful for what He has already done. The act of gratitude. And then I want you to notice secondly this morning the area of gratitude. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalms 103 is just a couple of pages away here in your Bible from where our text is this morning. And it's one of the greatest passages of Scripture. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, we're thankful for His forgetfulness in verse 2, His forgiveness in verse 3, His favor in verse 4, His feeling in verse 5. I say, bless the Lord, O my soul. I tell you, friend, this thing of gratitude. What area, what places in your life should you show gratitude or have gratitude for? I want to say everywhere. Be thankful in everything. You're not necessarily going to be thankful for everything, but you can be thankful in everything. That's two different things. Oh, listen, hey, Brother Troy, I'm sure was not thankful when the doctor put that pill under his tongue. And he wasn't thankful for what that's fixing to do to him. But he was thankful that they could do it and not just send him home and say, well, forget about it. You ain't got many days left. How you see, friend, you may not be able to be thankful for everything, but you can be thankful in everything.
is, that we are to be grateful in this chapter. And the Lord, you see, is our pardon. And for that we should be thankful. Verse 3, He forgives us. And the first benefit mentioned, what He says, forget not all of His benefits. The first benefit mentioned is forgiveness. Because the primary need we have is for forgiveness. Somebody said, you don't know how much I need to pay my light bill and my mortgage. I've been feeling sickly lately. I'm going to tell you, your sin problem has a bigger deal than your financial problem, than your physical problem, than your family problem. Your sin problem needs to be dealt with. Blessed is he who transgresses. He is forgiven whose sin is covered. If he saves you, if he's forgiven you, then you ought to be grateful for what he's done. Amen. The Lord is our pardon. The Lord is our physician in verse number 3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. What a blessing it is to know the Lord is our great physician. He's the only doctor who's ever healed anybody. Amen. That's exactly right. Doctors ain't even in the healing business, but Dr. Jesus is. The other doctors treat patients. Jesus heals sick folk. Amen. Oh, the other doctors practice medicine, but Jesus ain't practicing nothing. He's already mastered it. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. How the physicians choose a division of medicine as their specialty. The great physician is the master of all specialties. He's a master cardiologist. He performs heart surgery on sinners without even leaving a scar. Amen. He's a master neurologist. He gave me peace of mind. I want to thank God that he's in family practice. Amen. That's exactly right for you and for me and for my family. Unlike modern physician, he makes house calls. Oh yes, he's an excellent pediatrician. Matter of fact, they ain't nobody will do a better job with your children than what Jesus will. And he said, suffer the little children that come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Thank God, he is our physician.
Well, Troy, this is an experienced congregation when it comes to heart surgery. A very experienced congregation. Amen. Just in the past year, a very experienced congregation. Amen. We got 3 or 4 here this morning that in the past year have had heart surgery. Some of them bypasses, some of them stents and things. Most all of them's gone through a lot of the same stuff, and I know what it is personally within the past year to run on that stress test and to have all them wires hooked up, and they forgot to tell me not to take my blood pressure medicine that morning because it slows your heart rate down, and that them that have to work me that much harder to get my heart rate up. Oh, and I like killed myself. I thought I wasn't ever going to get up to where they wanted me to be. And she said, I can't believe they didn't tell you that. I said, lady, I can't believe it either. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, I thought for sure I was going to run to my legs, wore off up to a nub. They just kept speeding it up. I didn't know I could run that fast without somebody chasing me. I'm telling you what's truth. This is a very experienced congregation in that regard. But yeah, these men that have been through that this year are sitting in the congregation this morning. I mean, thank God. And they're shaking hands and loving one another and loving God and working again and the things like that. I tell you, God's a great physician. He's a great Savior. Oh, but more than that, if you're saved by grace, you know what it is for Him to take out that old stony heart. I'm not feeling sin and hard-heartedness, and to split you open without breaking the breastbone, and to cut you without leaving a scar, and to put in a heart of flesh and of love, sew it all up, and nobody else could see what he had done. Oh, but you couldn't deny it in your soul. Well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul. Hell, he brought salvation and he made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus.
makes me cry. And it sets my sinful soul on fire. Hallelujah. When God puts His love in my heart, I tell you, friend, He is our physician. And for that, I praise Him.
He's our physician. He's our pardon. We praise Him this morning because He's our protector in verse 4. Amen. Oh, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Amen. Oh, when we were on the brink of disaster, when we were staggering on the mouth of the pits of hell, oh, sliding in the pit deeper and deeper every moment, I'm glad He heard my cry. He came to where I was. He brought me out. Amen. Oh, waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry, brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth. He even praising our God. Many shall sit in fear and trust in the Lord. He is our protector. In verse 4, He's our prize. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That word crowneth means to compass you about, or to hem you in. He said He hems you in with mercies and with loving kindness. He's compassed you about with these things. He's got you surrounded this morning, amen, with loving kindness and tender mercies. Everywhere I look, I see it. It's all around me. Oh yes, I've been blessed. He's been so gracious to me. The Lord is our prize. The Lord is our provision. And verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He fills our souls with the abundance of His provisions. He feeds us and sustains us. He fills us with good things. I'm grateful for His gracious blessings. He sends the rain and He sends the sunshine. And He does it again and again. Oh Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your bountiful hand. Oh yes, thank God for the gracious blessings He's put on our lives. The act of gratitude, the ear of gratitude, and then finally I'm closing with this. There's an anthem of gratitude just a few chapters back. You're in Psalm 100 this morning. We're read, if you flip back a couple of pages, to Psalm chapter 95 and verse number 1. The Word of God says, oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God. How great thou art, amen, and a great King above all gods. Oh, there is an invitation to sing in this anthem. There's an invitation to sing in the choir. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. And come, let us, by the way, I was asking a while ago how there was a controversy in the Church of England about having the congregation sing. But yet the Word of God settles that right here. Oh, come, let us sing. Somebody said, I don't know how to sing. Just sing with us. And join in with the congregation. Hey, somebody said, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. We're not asking you to carry the tune. And just lift your voice. And maybe you couldn't know one note from another. Maybe you don't know the do from a re, from a mi, a so. You have no idea which shape is what or what ladder space is what. You wouldn't know a G chord from a Z chord. Amen. That's exactly right. But thank God in your heart the Lord's put a song. You know what it is to once be blind and now you can see. You know what it is to be crippled and be able to walk again. You remember, friend, I'm just dead in trespasses and sin. And the Lord calls you out. I say, sing unto Him. I sing the Lord's song. Go hang your harp on the willow tree. But sing unto the Lord. Here's an invitation. It's joining the anthem of gratitude.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
with one voice as a congregation, let us sing unto the Lord. Now, we don't have a meeting tonight, so I can strip this voice out this morning, and it won't make a bit of difference. Right. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. And today, thank God, we can join our voices together and to sing unto the Lord. Yeah. Make a joyful noise. Give thanks unto Him. This is a call for congregational worship, and this call is seen all through the Bible. Worship must come from within the heart of an individual, but no place is it expressed with the same effect as when we praise the Lord together and we join together in song.
Amen.
Hey, something about it. When everybody stands and sings together, there's just something about it. We've come to a generation where the words are printed on the wall.
Yeah.
Projectors and choruses and all is not altogether bad. But we've lost a lot.
Yes,
we've become so modernized that we've forgotten about the joy of congregational singing.
Yes,
we've forgotten about the privilege that it is to have a treasure like that Red Book hymnal. We've forgotten about the songs that have blessed us and have helped us and have strengthened us. Oh, we've forgotten maybe about those times when your heart was so heavy you didn't know how you was going to be able to stand it another minute. And somewhere or another in the dark of the night, there's an old song bubbled up in your heart and you begin to sing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Oh, devil, get out of here. I've got victory in Jesus. Hey, you don't have any authority in my life. Hey, you don't have any place here. We've forgotten about those experiences. And I'm afraid in so many places our children are being brought up never knowing the joy of congregational singing. Productions and showboating and show business and all this has taken over. And my friend, it's all about what kind of show that you can put on, what kind of production you can make. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather hear a congregation sing when Jesus comes in the clouds as to watch all of the productions in the world. I like to hear the choir sing. I like to hear families sing and quartets sing and sing under anointing. Amen. I thank God for that. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I said in Psalm 84:10, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of our God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be a servant in church as to be a master in the world. Somebody said, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. And nobody even knows who I am. I'd pay Jesus knows, amen. That's exactly right. And I'd rather be a servant here as to be a master in the world. I thank God for the invitation that we have to sing unto Him.
Yes. Amen.
And we have a promise that comes with that invitation. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them to own and to bless. Oh, it's one thing. Listen, I like it when my sisters and I can sing together. They sing so pretty it makes me sound good. And I like it to sing with my sisters. But if all it is us just singing. I mean, friend, we used to sing the McDonald's commercials and jingles when we was kids in three-part harmony. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, yes. I was listening to yesterday. I have a recording we made of a song Tanya wrote when she was 13. I was 10 and Tessa was 7. And Tanya was playing the piano and I was trying to play the guitar. And singing, and all of us singing three-part harmony. And I'm making a recording there at the church house. And I thought, my word, for as small as we was, that wasn't bad. Oh, the harmony was right. Our voices wasn't ceased, but all the harmony was right. But listen to me, friend. I would be as well off singing the McDonald's singles or Yankee Doodle Dandy. If all it was our voices. But when God comes in the middle of all of that
and the Holy Ghost breathes on us, well, then you got business picking up. Then it's worth it. Then it's valuable. And then it is uplifting.
Amen. Thank God for congregational singing, choir singing, family harmony, and people that sing from their heart for the Lord. Our singing ought to show that we're approaching God in worship and not approaching others in showbiz. We ought to approach Him gratefully, thanking Him, praising Him, glorifying Him. We ought to approach Him gladly. Everybody stand and sing, and there'll be some that'll stand and sing, and there'll be others. Their leg's not broken, nothing. They do got a bone in their leg. I guess that's what's the matter with them. But they won't stand at all. It's so lazy, and my friend won't stand. Folks sick, I understand. Folks that can't, I understand. Folks that's unable, I understand. I'm talking about lazy folks. Just don't care. Just not motivated. Somebody say amen right here. You know I'm preaching right. I stand up and get the hymn book. I'd hold the hymn book kind of like this, you know. Sort of hold it out this way. Don't even look at the words. Just sort of looking around. Just see whatever everybody else is doing. Oh, somebody said, I can't sing. If you can read and look at the words and at least say them with us. Amen. Oh, and listen, that ought to be something you're glad to be able to do.
Man coached us in basketball when I was a kid. Had an accident, ran up under a chicken truck. Had hauled out of the poultry houses a load of chickens headed to Goldkist and ran a red light, and that man ran up under the chicken truck and light took his head off. It's just a young fella. This was later in life, and but Scotty had a trach and a voice box and all put in here that stalled surgically. And he talked. When he talked, all he could do was make a monotone growl. And it was hard that Tanya remembers who I'm talking about. It was hard to even understand a word that he said when he spoke, let alone be able to make any sort of tone quality or hit any kind of pitch. I mean, everything was the same pitch. And I don't know if it was even a pitch that existed or not. I mean, it was not even really a note of any kind. It was just sort of a growl, just sort of a groan that he made every time that he spoke. But I remember in a revival meeting over at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Dallas. Night while I was playing on the basketball team where his coach had happened about while I was there, that evening he was there in the revival meeting. I'd sat behind me, Brother Sean. We stood that night to sing, and we were singing Victory in Jesus. And that man stood, grabbed the hymn book, opened up under page 120. I stood at attention. I stuck his finger in his trachea so he could make sound. And with that growl and groan, he started out. I heard an old story. And he sang through the song. I'll never forget that. He didn't hit one note anywhere in the song. Oh, but I thought then, if he can sing, and if he would join his heart, and tears in his eyes can sing, and can praise God, then I have no excuse for the strong voice, and with the joy of God in my heart, an anthem of gratitude. There's an invitation, and then there's a foundation to this anthem. We are to come with thanksgiving. Oh, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. We become before His presence with thanksgiving because He's great. We come in discourse with praise because He is good. And that's the foundation of what all we've done this morning. It's not about me or the church or you or the singers, but it's about God and how great that He is. And we come to praise Him today.
Amen.
We're so privileged to be here and to be a part of a Sunday service. Gratitude and gracious blessings. To have a Sunday specifically set aside for thanksgiving. What a blessing. We're blessed to be joined in heart and worshiping the Lord. We're blessed to have all of the bestowments of God in our lives. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. From the Father of lights, to whom there is no variable, neither shadow of turning. It'd be a shame if we were to let this opportunity pass without us together thanking Him for all that He does in our lives. If you've not given your heart and life to Him, now would be the time to do that. If you've got something in your heart that ought not to be, now would be the time to get it right with God. If you simply need to tell Him once more how thankful you are that He signed on your life, now would surely be the time to do it. I don't want to give an altar call with song this morning, but I want to give an open invitation for all that will join us to have altar prayer this morning. I don't know why we just need to even sing and ask, does anybody need to pray? Maybe the question ought to be, is anybody really in a place where they don't need to pray? I mean, it'd do us well this morning just to join together in this altar. And whatever you need to do with God, however you need to address Him, whether it be in praise or in seeking His forgiveness or in trying to get saved by God's marvelous grace, now would be the time to do it. Stand to your feet if you need to pray, and if you'll join us in prayer, I'd ask you to come this morning. Meet with us around this morning's bench, around this altar. Find you a place wherever you can be comfortable. If you're unable to kneel, if you want to come down front, just sit on this front row or on this morning's bench and pray with us. I'd invite you to do that. Whatever you can do to participate and join in with us this morning, I'd invite you to do so. And certainly tell you to be welcome to pray. We're all going to join together in prayer this morning. I'd ask you to pray with us as we seek the Lord. Brother William Couch, if you will, voice the prayers we pray together.
Father, I come to you.
Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, this morning, I thank you for the privilege that it is to join together with each one this morning. I thank you for everybody, Lord God. Our Lord of the house of God this morning today, I thank you, Lord, for the singing that we've heard and for Lord, at this time to be able to preach your word. Lord, for the time we've had to worship together and for the celebration of your goodness and grace that has transpired here today. I want to thank you, God, for the choir that's sung. And Lord, for the words that's been said as the offering that's been received. I thank you, Lord, for every person that's participated and taken a part. I thank you now for the privilege that he has about in this place and to pray. And Lord, I want to praise you for helping us today. I want to thank you, Lord, for all of your mercies on our lives. I want to thank you, God, for saving me. And Lord, for forgiving my sin. And for putting me in this good way. Thank you for your sweet anointing that's been on my life today. Oh, God, and your precious Spirit that you've given, Lord, to fellowship with us in our hearts. I thank you, Lord, for a church to worship and to pray, God. I thank you, Lord, for the joy Sister Pam has come this morning to sing to us. Have a blessing this week. Have a God, I thank you for these words and labor to prepare the food today. And the Lord for these, God, who have, Lord, come this way and bow in friends and families. Oh, God, we just praise you for all that you've done in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for an altar. Thank you, God, for a church. Thank you, Lord, for the songs we sing. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. Thank you, God, for my wife and for my children. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for mom and dad and Thomas Wright. Thank you, Lord, for an example of Christian character before us. And the Lord that loved us and prayed for us. Oh God, I praise you for all that you've done. I bless your name this morning for your many blessings on us. I praise you, Lord, for your graciousness. And the Lord, for your mercy on our lives. And Father, I pray that if you'll be one this morning, all for my son, that you build their hearts, Lord. Help them this morning to turn it all over to you, I pray. Stir them towards this. Hear the prayers of people around this altar, I pray. And the Lord work in each life to bring all your glory unto yourself. And Father, all that you're doing with how you work. And Lord, and through the things that happen in this earth. And Lord, the fruit that you bring from it. We'll thank you, Lord, for it.
will praise your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Ain't it about blessing to be at the house of God? We got lunch in the fellowship hall. At least I think we do. I hadn't been out there yet. I know we got at least what my wife brought, so we can ration it out if we have to. I believe there's more than enough for everybody. There's more than enough for everybody to be filled and probably take 12 basketfuls home with you. I mean, there's a bunch of food out there. And there's enough sweets to send you into a diabetic coma. And so, be sure to stay and help us eat. Because what you don't eat, I'll have to. Be back down there running on that treadmill, what'll happen. So, I want you to hang around. Don't get in a hurry. Be sure to come and shake hands with the singers. Matter of fact, they may want time to sort of step back to the table back there if you want to. And you can go by and take a look at the stuff that they have. And if it'd be a blessing to you, and I assure you that it would be, if it'd be a blessing to you, then go ahead and see if you can get you a CD or whatever arranged and listen to it while you're riding down the highway. I got all them songs we sung this morning memorized. I listened to it riding down the highway. I've been listening to them for a long time. I like that business. My youngin's got all them songs memorized. Now, I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't hurt nothing. She's all right now. We're done. It wouldn't hurt anything if we were to, if you were to get your kids a CD and let Brother Troy and Sister Tammy sign that CD. You'll let them get the ball players' autographs and such and all that mess and hang it on their wall. Maybe some singer somewhere or another singing some filth out of Hollywood or Nashville. It'd do you some good maybe to let them sign a CD cover or something for your youngins and maybe remember them in prayer when you have your family devotions. Get them to sign your Bible, and when you open your Bible, you can remember them in prayer and call her name out to the master. I guarantee you it'd help you. Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. It'd do you well. And so take some time to do that. Don't get in a hurry. Plenty out in the fellowship hall, so make your way out there and stay with us when the women give us the high sign. Y'all remember the little rascals? When the women give us the high sign, then we'll go ahead and eat, all right? Take some time to fellowship and you can be dismissed. Thank you for coming this morning.